Heavenly Father, this morning, as we continue worshiping you, may you send your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts, move them, prick them. Maybe it's painful. Maybe it's just a special nudge you give. Whatever it is, God, we're just waiting for you to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. My kids, ever since they were little, loved books. It's probably because my wife was so intentional and is so intentional about having good quality reading material for them at all times. They've got bookshelves in both their rooms that are loaded with books. There's usually books strewn about the house. The seat pockets on the back of the front seats in our minivan are stretched out because we've stuffed so many books in there. Some of you have that problem as well. Friday nights are some of my favorite nights because we read some of my favorite books, ones that you may know of as well, like books like Storytime in Africa. Anybody? Uh-huh, you know that one? I had to buy it on eBay because they don't make it anymore. What about Nyla and the White Crocodile? Oh, several hands, okay. What about Swift Arrow? Okay, tell me you're an Adventist without telling me you're an Adventist. If you know those books, you're an Adventist for sure. But of all the books that my family has and my kids have enjoyed, probably one of our favorites is this one right here. It's on the screen for you. You Choose. Is that right, Caffrey Kanan? One of the favorites? Oh, Caffrey says no. This is a busted illustration now. Thanks a lot. It's a great book. I like the book, maybe if they don't like it. You open it up, and you have all the choices of all the things, and you get to pick which one you want. Like, I think one of the first pages is, what do you want to wear? And you can dress like a cowboy, you can dress like an astronaut, you can dress like a clown if you want. You turn the page. What kind of pet would you like to have? You can have a crocodile, you could have a dinosaur, a kangaroo. You pick, it doesn't matter, you choose. What do you want to drive? What's your vehicle? You could have a submarine, you could have a hot air balloon, you could fly a kite and ride it. It's amazing. And you get to go through this book and you choose your future. You pick what your future looks like. You choose it. It's dreaming ahead. The children of Israel, they've passed Jericho. They're moving into the promised land. And we get to pick up their story as they are choosing what their future looks like. In fact, you can read the story in Joshua chapter 24, and if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Joshua chapter 24. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, that's okay. There's a blue book that's right in front of you, and you can follow along on page 169. You'll read the same words that I am reading. And as you're turning there, I'll give you just some context of this story. A lot of things have happened since last week. They marched around Jericho. The walls came tumbling down. They move along as they're feeling confident for their victory over Jericho, and they come up to this town named Ai. Before there was Ai, there was Ai. A little town, just a small little town, and Joshua's feeling good, the people are feeling good, and so Joshua says, we gotta clear the land, let's take care of this little village here, and so he sends only 5,000 military guys to take care of this, and they come back with their tails between their legs. They got whooped. In fact, the Bible says they lost 36 Israelites, which doesn't sound like a lot compared to the tens of thousands of others that had been slaughtered along the way. But they lose, and Joshua's terrified because now this story of them failing is going to trickle throughout the land, and everyone's going to want to take a swing at the Israelites. So Joshua goes before the Lord, and he says, hey, what happened? Why is it like this? And God says, it's because there's rebellion in the camp. See, God had given specific instructions at Jericho, and he said, when the walls come tumbling down, don't take anything with you. Leave it all there. But there was this one guy named Achan, and he sees some silver and some fine clothing, and he takes it, he goes back to his tent, he cuts a trap door in the bottom of his tent, he digs a hole, he puts it in the sand, he covers it up, puts a sleeping bag over the top of it, thought he would hide it. Finally, after some digging, they find out that Achan was the one, and because of his sin, he ends up getting stoned to death. So Joshua says, God, how do I take this town of Ai? And God says, send the full army with a little ambush as well. And so they send the army. Ai comes out to attack. The ambush goes around, burns the city to the ground, and they move on into the promised land. There's lots of stories. You can see their journey as they move into the promised land, like the time the Gibeonites came. You'll remember this story too. The Gibeonites, they were next door neighbors, but Joshua didn't know. They come up and they're wearing their old raggedy clothes, holes in the shoes. They come with moldy bread, and they say, Joshua, we've been traveling for a long ways. Look at our clothes. Look at this bread. It was fresh when we left. Will you make a treaty with us? And so Joshua, being naive, not knowing the lay of the land yet, he says, sure, we'll make a treaty. Well, it turns out they're just the next door neighbors. And when Joshua finds out, he says, you will be our water carriers and our woodcutters. Well, they've made this alliance, this treaty. So when five kings come to attack the Gibeonites, the Israelites have to go and defend this little group of Gibeonites. And they show up a little late. It's evening time. The sun's going down. And so Joshua prays and he commands the sun to stand still. And it does for about a day. I mean, these are some crazy stories. Finally, we get to where we are today. They're staring at this promised land, the future of Israel. And they're looking at it and they're beginning to divide it up. And Caleb, one of the original OG 12 spies that go into the land, he speaks up first. There's lots of land to choose. You could have the beautiful grasslands. You could have the high country. You could have all the nice spots. And Caleb, his faith challenges me because he picks the land that has the Anakites in it. In Hebrew, Anak means giants. He picks the land with the biggest enemies because he knows that God's going to go with him and go before him and go after him. And so he chooses that land first. And Joshua, as he stands up before all the people as they're splitting up the land, he says these words in Joshua 24, in verse 14. Here's what it says in my Bible. Joshua 24, verse 14. Joshua says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods, your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Joshua tells the people right there, and it's a very special place. He says, take your idols and get rid of them. Take those idols and throw them away. Take the stuff that you have brought along on the journey that isn't helping you and throw it away. He does it at a very special spot there in Shechem, where a similar story happened, but a long time before. In fact, Genesis 35 talks about it. It's Jacob's story. It says this. So they gave Jacob all their foreign gods and all their earrings, and Jacob buried them under the oak tree near Shechem. Same spot, same story, different time, different people. It happened right here. Joshua says, get rid of the stuff that you've brought along. All those knickknacks, you know, the plunder you've brought from all the other cities, the earrings, the gold, the little cups, the things that you've fashioned together and made jewelry. You're walking through the desert, you don't have much, and they've picked stuff up along the way, and it's so special to them. You know, souvenirs. See, there's really only two kinds of people in this room. People that get souvenirs and people that don't get souvenirs. I'm too cheap to get souvenirs, so we don't get any. But on my honeymoon, it was a little different. In fact, here's a picture of these two young lovebirds. Don't you find it funny that every time I throw a picture of my wife and I up on the screen, she looks exactly the same as she does today, and I look 100 years older? Hashtag trophy wife, you know what I'm saying? We go on this honeymoon to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And it was awesome, just good memories. You know, we went zip lining, we did dune buggies, just had the best time ever. And on the last day, we're thinking about a few other people at home, parents, friends, family. We think, man, we should get them something, you know, that we were thinking about them too. And so we ended up going to this like flea market and we bought several things. I found a picture of the stuff that we brought. Here it is on the screen for you. Lots of things, a t-shirt, I don't even remember who that was for. On the bottom side, you've got the like, rainmaker and like a pan pipe. And that was for my mom because she likes musical instruments. Right in the middle, there's like hot sauce for Jen's father-in-law. You've got, it's kind of hard to see on the left side, there's ceramic spoon rests that were hand-painted. We gave those to some people. The top left, there's a couple of wooden bowls. And when we saw those bowls, we thought, those are haystack bowls, right? Put some chips in there, some salsa in the other, maybe some queso. You got some good food there. And we brought it home. But now when you take souvenirs and you bring them home, what do you do with them? You put them up on a shelf somewhere. Some of you have curio cabinets with glass on the front and you arrange them just specially in there. And then they just sit and they sit and they sit and they collect dust and you don't even remember why you even have them, and you just they just trail along on your journey from one house to the next house as you move. Am I right? You're laughing because you know I'm right. And these souvenirs, they are memory reminders of what had happened, but they've turned into just objects. That's all they are. And the Israelites had taken these souvenirs from God's miraculously moving the people along, but they'd taken these souvenirs and they had become just objects, objects of their affection that they worship. They became idols for them. And Joshua, he stands up and he says, as you move into the promised land, the home that God's given you, as you've watched him move in front of you and provide for you and fight for you, throw away the idols. They are worthless. They don't matter anymore because they've become something that you worship rather than you worshiping God. It's in between. He said, get rid of the stuff that's in between. And as I thought about this story this week, it's made me thought about how many of us are in the same situation that the Israelites were then, where there's stuff in between us and God, where we've watched him move in our life all along, we've seen his power, we've seen him fighting for us, and we've collected those memories, but we've also collected some other things that go along with it, and that have become idols. It's baggage that comes along, and we set them on our shelves, and we look at them, and we hold on to them, and we end up worshiping them. They get in between us and God. Now, I don't know what your idols look like, but I have some that may fit you. Maybe your idol this morning is an idol called bitterness. You got this souvenir of bitterness. You keep it with you at all times. It's a reminder of a broken childhood or a traumatic event. It's something that happened to you and you harbor it in your heart and you never forget it and you never forgive it. Or maybe your idol this morning, this is a big one, it's called discontentment. You crave more. You crave new. You crave something bigger and something better, and because of it, you live in a life that's filled with discontentment. Maybe your idol this morning is simply pride. You give this image of who you want to be known as, and you puff yourself up, and you try to flex as much as you can so the world sees who you want them to see, but you end up having so much pride that you lack the humility to see what you actually need. Or maybe your idol this morning is anger. You're angry at the world. You're angry with others. You're angry because it's not fair and it never was fair. You're angry because you failed. Or how about this one? And I think we all can resonate here. Maybe your idol is simply resentment. Oh, that one travels with you, doesn't it? You've been hurt. You continue to be hurt. And every time you're hurt, you take another scoop and you add it to the pile of resentment. What's your idol this morning? What's God asking you to throw away? What's been getting in between you and him? What's the one that is keeping you away from fully committing to being a fully devoted follower of Jesus? You know, this past Tuesday, I was finishing up staff meeting. Had all our pastors together. We're all laughing and smiling. And as we're kind of leaving my office there, somebody comes in and says, hey, Pastor Matt, there's someone here to see you. And I think, oh, 11 o'clock on Tuesday. Like, I don't ever schedule appointments. What, did I miss something? What, not again. And so I walk out into the little lobby area, and there's a guy sitting out there, and he looks vaguely familiar but also very not familiar to me. And so I just walk up to him and I say, hey, my name's Matt. And he looks at me and he says, hey, I'm your old neighbor. And I said, oh, yeah, of course, right? I'd really only met him about once before. He'd come over when his father-in-law was dying, and he asked me to pray for him, but I hadn't seen him since, and I wondered, hey, well, why is he here? And I said, hey, man, well, come on in. And so he came in, and he sat down on my couch in my office, and I said, well, dude, tell me about what's going on and what brought you here today. And he said, well, Pastor Matt, I'm here because my whole life I've kept God at kind of an arm's distance. I went to Fleece, I went to FLA, but that's about it. I know Adventism, I've been to different Adventist churches, but I've kept God kind of at arm's length. He even said that one of the way that he dodges God is by reading about God, which keeps him just enough away that he can know about him, but not necessarily fully commit his life to him. And I said, well, hey man, like, tell me what your goal is. And he said, well, honestly, I'm looking for a community that will wrap their arms around me, that will encourage me, that I can have friendship, that I can grow to know Jesus better and better and fully commit my life to him. And I said, dude, this is fantastic. He says, I want to come to church. I said, this is great. He's here right now. I'm not going to point him out. He's here right now. And I said, hey, man, I want to show you something. And I took him down the hall, down to the lower level on this the east wing over here. And I said, this is the Sabbath school that I think would fit you really well. We opened the door. He walked in and he sat down. And I said, dude, this is where you need to go. This is a great group of people in similar age groups, similar life experience. And he said, I want to do that. He's been feeling the nudge of the Holy Spirit to fully commit his life to him. He's been feeling this nudge to throw away the idols, whatever is in between him and Jesus. And he's making those steps. And as Joshua, as he talks to these people, he's saying, get rid of the stuff that's in between. Get rid of the idols. See, every one of us has an idol somewhere. Everybody's got a souvenir that we carry along with us. But the only souvenir that you really need is to look at the past and see what God has done. And carry those memories to the future, knowing that whatever he did in the past, he'll do it in the future too. You know, one of my favorite authors of all time, the most published author ever, she writes in her book, Testimonies to the Church, she writes, we've got nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history. You don't have to worry about the future because you've seen what he's done in the past. That's the souvenir that you need to carry in your life. Where he's fought for you, where he's spoken on your behalf, where he's given you grace, where you've sensed his mercy. If he did it back then, he'll do it again. Those are the souvenirs of the past that give you faith for the future, moving into an unknown land and choosing to live for him no matter what. And Joshua, as he stands before the people, he gives them the options. Here's what he says, verse 15. Joshua says, Israelites, Forest Lake Church, he says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves. You choose. That's what he says. You choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. He says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You say amen, and the Israelites did too. Verse 24, jump down here. Here's how the people replied. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. See, this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit has been speaking to your hearts, just like he does. He pokes and he prods just as necessary. He cracks the door of your heart open, and then he works his way in there and convicts and moves and pushes and touches. And he's an incredible God that knows every part of you. He lives inside you. And I believe there are some here this morning, all of us in fact, that are ready to move forward into that totally committed life with Jesus. Regardless of the idols you have, throwing those away and moving forward with Jesus, you want to say, I will serve the Lord no matter what. For some of you, you might be the head of your household. And for you, for a while, maybe you have this longing in your heart that you want to take your family and help them grow to know Jesus better. What's getting in the way? Get rid of it. Maybe today you want to say, for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. For others of you, maybe you're in school. You might be at Fleece. You might be at FLA. You might be at Lake Brantley. You might be in college. You probably are faced with the endless peer pressure and your friends that push you to do things that don't honor God. Maybe today you want to say, for me, I will serve the Lord. Maybe there's other of you this morning. You grew up Seventh-day Adventist your entire life. You were born Seventh-day Adventist. Like my friend that showed up on Tuesday. Maybe it's today that you want to recommit your life by saying, I will serve you totally, God. And maybe this is your very first time in a church. You just stumbled in today. Maybe God pushed you here today. Maybe it's the beginning of your faith journey, and maybe today you want to say, I want to learn to live to serve the Lord. Wherever you are in your relationship with God, I'm going to give you an opportunity as we pray today. I'm going to leave the prayer open for you just to talk to God. So why don't we pray as we close? Heavenly Father, today I'm challenged by the commitment of the Israelites that said, we will serve the Lord. And God, I know every one of us here has idols and baggage and stuff that we hold and we carry with us that stay in between us and you. And God, today, may you help us clean the closet and throw the junk away
empty the curio cabinet. Allow us to be close to you and help us to commit to you. So God, I'm going to leave this prayer open now. And you'll hear the voices of those that are speaking to you in their hearts as they commit their lives to you.